Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
Truly this man was the Son of God. That these words were spoken about Jesus the Christ is not surprising. God promised to send a Savior into the world. The prophets repeated the promise, giving additional details down through all the pages of the Old Testament Scriptures. Jesus claimed while here on earth that He was God's Son. So we should not be surprised that someone would say, "Truly this man was the Son of God." What is a little surprising is that the declaration came from a Roman. These were the words of the Roman centurion who oversaw the execution of Christ. That one with no background in or regard for the law and the prophets could honestly observe the way Jesus died and conclude that truly He was the Son of God gives me great hope. It means that anyone, even today, who honestly comes to the cross, sees the suffering Savior, can see Jesus declared to be the Son of God. And that's our topic for study today. We welcome you to today's broadcast, and we're certainly grateful that you've chosen to spend this time of Bible study with us. We always feel honored whenever you invite us into your lives to sit down with God's Word and learn what He has written for us. Last week we began a study where we're looking at the book of John and the 8 different occasions in the book of John where Jesus said, "I am," and then identified Himself as being something. Last week we looked at John chapter 8 and verse 58, where Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." By identifying Himself as the I am, He gave Himself the status of God, the same as His Father, Jehovah. The I am shows that He is self-existent in nature, and that nature is uniquely God's, and He claims that nature for Himself. Now this week, we are looking at John chapter 10 and verse 36. Here Jesus claims to be the Son of God. In John 10, verse 36, we read, "Do you say of Him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because you said, I am the Son of God?" See, for one to claim to be God's Son would be blaspheming. It would be speaking against God because it would reduce God to the level of man. And that would be blaspheming in every case except one. And that is that the person who was saying it actually is the Son of God. And if that's the case, then it's not blaspheming, but it's rather a declaration of truth. Jesus is declaring Himself to be the Son of God. And He should, because He has taken on Himself that sonship. He took upon Himself sonship and came to this earth and died for me. It's interesting that the Bible never refers to Jesus as the Son of God, except in predictive prophecy from the book of Daniel, until He actually came to earth and was born of woman, overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He left the form of God and took upon Himself the form of man. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5, says it this way, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross." Jesus had the form of God. We knew Him as the Word of God, as John 1 and verse 1 identifies Him. But He took upon Himself the form of man and became the Son of God. He did so not for His own benefit, but rather for our benefit, that He might come and die for us. Now it's important that we realize that a son has greater standing in a household than a servant does. Consider, if you would, Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Here the writer of the book of Hebrews is trying to show us that we have a better way of life, that serving under Jesus is better than serving under Moses. We're told that Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which should be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over His own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. You see, a son has greater standing in a household than the servant does. And God offers that same sonship to us. Notice, if you would, Galatians 4, beginning in verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth His Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You see, a servant might be very dedicated, might be dearly loved by his master, but he is a servant. He's just an employee. He might be paid for doing a particular task, or during this time of history, if he were a slave, he might one day gain his freedom by serving his master well. But a son had something much greater to look forward to. A son had an inheritance to look forward to. A servant would work the master's property, but he would never own it. A son would be working his father's property, and one day would own it. He would inherit it from his father. A son has much greater blessings than does a servant. We are told that we can have part of those same blessings. Just as Jesus is the Son of the Father, we can become the sons of the Father if we are obedient to His will. And we can become joint heirs with Him, fellow heirs with Him as our older brother. Now, there's a beautiful story that is told in the Bible in order to teach us some very important heavenly truths. The record comes to us from Luke chapter 15. And if we read beginning in verse 18, we see here a son of a man. The son rebelled against his father, claimed his inheritance even before his father had died, which was the equivalent of saying that, as far as I'm concerned, you're already dead. You're no longer my father. Took his inheritance, went out into another land, and wasted it in wild and reckless living. We find then in verse 18 that this boy says to himself, I will arise and go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. You see, this boy recognized that there is a difference in a son and a servant. He was born into that family. He was a son. But because of his actions, he forfeited his right to be a son. He's going to return to his father now, confessing the things that he has done wrong, and beg for an opportunity to be just a servant. But I want us to notice what happens when he actually arrives home. For this teaches us a very important principle. It shows us that God gives us sonship for our service. When we come to him as a servant and we serve him obediently, he gives us sonship. Not because we deserve it, but because it is his gift to us. Notice what happens here in Luke 15. We're going to go back and begin our reading in verse 17 this time. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Now let's notice what his father actually did, picking up the reading again in Luke 15 and verse 20. And when he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now at this point the father might have said, You're right. Because of the way that you treated me and the way that you rebelled, you have given up your right to be my son. It might have been a just thing for him to say so, but it would not have been a merciful and loving thing. And this father here represents our heavenly Father, who is full of mercy and compassion, who is abundantly loving and wants us to do what is right, who is eagerly awaiting us to come back to him when we stray and will run to meet us if we will but be obedient to him again. This father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. It's important for us to understand what all of these things that the Father gave the Son symbolize. When He put a robe on Him, He was saying, "You're not a servant, you are my Son." When He put a ring on His finger, He was putting on His Son's finger the one tool that made it possible for Him to do business in His Father's name. For Him to put the stamp of that ring on a document, it carried the same weight as though His Father had signed it. By putting that ring on His finger, He made Him His Son again, not a servant. Just as this boy came back to his father, offering service and receiving sonship, we do the same with the Heavenly Father. When we come to Him and obediently offer our service, He gives us sonship. Notice, if you would, Acts 17 and verse 30. It's necessary for us to come to God in repentance, for He commands all men everywhere to repent. But He also gives us the assurance from James chapter 4 and verse 7 that if we do submit to Him and resist the devil, then the devil will flee from us, and we can draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to us. It is by drawing near to the Father that we come to the Son. This is the point where we can enter into Christ by entering into Him through baptism. It's interesting that Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 2 and verse 13 that now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It's there and it's waiting for us. All we have to do is come to Him in obedience on His terms, and it's waiting for us. It may be that you have done something that's very wrong, that you've committed sin and separated yourself from the Father. If so, isn't now the best time to come home, to come back to Him confessing those sins, repenting of them, and praying for forgiveness? Do that if you're already a child of God. If not, come to Jesus believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized into Him. Either way, God is waiting to accept you back, waiting to run to you and hold you close to Him.